welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the fastest-growing segment of society, to those who, like me, know that the world's political, the world's religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, rotten to the core, that they are counterproductive, that they can't be fixed, that they aren't worth our time, our money, our devotion, our allegiance. And instead, our mission ought to be to look behind the headlines, to know why they are working against our interest, to understand what they're doing. Because ultimately, exposing and condemning them isn't hateful. It's the most caring thing we can do, no matter if the ploy is religious or political, even if it's patriotic or military. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, which means teaching, particularly since its covenant provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, 877-300-7645. The news today is extraordinarily sad. It's eminently predictable. But once again, Vladimir Putin has played America and the West for fools. He got what he wanted. It cost him nothing. And the world picked up another burden. Reuters is announcing, but so are virtually every media resource, that the International Monetary Fund, which is primarily funded by the United States taxpayer, said on Thursday that it had agreed to a $14 to $18 billion bailout for the Ukraine, a deal that will unlock further credits to reach a total of $27 billion over the next 2 years. It's exactly what I told you would occur. In fact, by the time these 2 years are over, it will be beyond $27 billion. It'll be closer to $35 billion. Russia was going to provide the $15 billion this year, had already committed to do so, before the malcontents in Kiev decided that, no, they didn't want the Russian money. They wanted American and European money. And so they overthrew the government in a riot, and they got what they wanted, $14 to $18 billion from the International Monetary Fund. $27 billion over the next 2 years. Putin saved his cash. And he got the only part of the Ukraine that he wanted, Crimea, something that has been a part of Russia for centuries. Quite a deal, huh? Did you want to bail out the Ukraine? The last time I checked, the United States was in need of a bailout. We're broke. And yet, the buffoons that run this country think that it's in American interest to provide $27 billion to the Ukraine? It's so laughable that if it wasn't sad, I guess we could make a comedy routine out of this. The agreement is intended to help Ukraine meet debt payments looming this year after months of anti-government protests, which resulted in the overthrow of President Viktor Yanukovych and a standoff with Moscow in which Russia annexed the Crimea region. It's not about Russia annexing Crimea. It's about the Crimeans saying, we don't want any part of the mob rule that has taken place. We don't want to be part this failed experiments called the Ukraine. We were successfully part of Russia for centuries. We want to be part of Russia again. It's not about Russia doing something it should not have done. It's about those in Kiev doing something they should not have done. It's about the International Monetary Fund doing something it should not have done. We have once again rewarded those who are unwilling or unable to work. Quote, the mission has reached a staff-level agreement with the authorities of Ukraine on an economic reform program that can be supported by a two-year standby agreement with the IMF. The IMF statement read, you know, there is no elected legitimate government of the Ukraine. There was one, but the popularly elected, the democratic leader, was thrown out of office under death threats. Gang rule there now. And so when the Ukraine actually had a properly elected government, and they on three occasions now have borrowed billions from the IMF, each time they have done so, they reneged on the agreement. They did not honor its terms and conditions. And so it is the IMF's money that this loan, which America will fund, will bail out. It's American taxpayers are going to be paying the IMF back for bad loans they made to the UK. But consider the reality that this journalist didn't bother, nor did anybody in Washington bother, to explain that this isn't the first loan offered by the IMF. It's the fourth. And thus far, the Ukraine has welched on everyone. And this time, unlike the previous times, it does not have an elected government. So whoever wins when they finally bother to hold an election is going to say, man, I didn't negotiate those terms. We can't live with those terms. It's going to be like Nazi Germany that says, you know, those terms on the Versailles Agreement, they were so onerous. We ought not be responsible to them. In fact, they'll probably go back to their roots in the Ukraine, to the pogrom times, and blame the Jews for the onerous terms. They'll say those international bankers, they're Jews, that we ought not be slaves to Jewish interests. You can hear them now. This quote, then, the financial support from the broader international community, that the program will unlock up amounts up to $27 billion over the next 2 years, provides assistance from the IMF that will range in $14 to $18 billion initially, with the balance to be paid the following year. It is astonishing that once again, the West has been played as a fool. You know, it's constantly, in Europe, where you're hearing the president say, and even Congress now, screaming, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming, we need to scold them for invading the Ukraine. But they didn't invade the Ukraine. We ought to support the legitimate government of the Ukraine, but there is no legitimate government of the Ukraine. Boy, we're going to really punish those Russians if they continue to act so hostily and militarily towards the Ukraine and continue to push the Ukraine so that they can invade it and control it. But Russia has no interest in Ukraine. It says, you know, so long as our pipeline isn't molested, so long as our people aren't molested, we don't want any part of the Ukraine. You can have that burden. It's like they're justifying their positions by lashing out at imaginary foes. And all the while, the nation becomes more broke as irresponsible individuals continue to spend the nation into oblivion. I would never make the following statement. It was one that we're going to read from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, because I wouldn't want to besmirch apes, and because it's childish. But nonetheless, the man who was head of the world's most mighty military, a military mightier than the rest of the world's combined, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, said that a trained ape could have done a better job securing diplomatic relations with Afghanistan than the Obama administration. Now, can't say that today. You just can't. A Rumsfeld aide notes that he's used the phrase before and wasn't referring specifically to President Barack Obama. Oh, pardon me, but you were criticizing the Obama administration for being unable to negotiate a security agreement that allows American troops to continue on in Afghanistan. And you said that a trained aide could have done a better job. Can't say that, pal. Now, I'm no fan of Obama. And I rather like apes. Can't say that. Now, the reality is in Afghanistan is they don't want us. Karzai doesn't want us. Most of those who are running for election are warlords. They don't want us. For an Afghani politician to say, yep, what we want to do is we want to capitulate to America. We want America to continue to be able to bomb our homes and to menace our people. And we want to ally with this, and we want to assure that Americans who kill Afghanis are tried in American military courts and therefore are likely to be exonerated rather than under our laws, which are Sharia. That the Afghanis know that if they were to capitulate to that request, they would be signing their own death certificate. The moment America is gone, the Taliban is going to return. And they know it. We know it. Everyone knows it. The Afghan war was lost before it was begun. And so there is no chance that any responsible party is going to acquiesce to that, and America is simply going to pull out of Afghanistan, its tail between its legs, having broken another country, having made a very bad situation much worse. What's going to happen? Even a trained ape couldn't resolve that problem. Donald, you ought not have invaded. Donald, that was the problem. It was imminently foreseeable what was going to occur. All we were going to do is lash out at a symptom of the Islamic terrorism that brought 9/11 to our shores. And we were going to push the most fundamentalist Muslims temporarily out of the country that we sent them into to conquer, into Pakistan, where they would disrupt that country. It is a nuclear power. Stupid move. In the giant sea of hypocrisy that flows out of Washington, D.C., this story caught my eye. The dateline is from Reuters, and it's actually from Beijing, China, but it speaks of American hypocrisy. China says that it will beef up internet security in response to recent reports that the U.S. government spied on a major telecommunications firm, the Chinese Defense Ministry said today. Reports that the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA, infiltrated servers at the headquarters of Huawei Technologies. Huawei is a, let me finish the article and I'll speak to what Huawei is. Lay bare, this is a quote from the Chinese, lay bare the United States' hypocrisy and despotic rule, ministry spokesman Jing Yongxing told a briefing. Quote, for now, some Americans have jabbered on and on, condemning the Chinese hacking attacks, he said. But the truth is that without any basis in fact, it's simply time to stop crying wolf and to start crying thief. Now, this is a country that is the largest holder of U.S. treasuries. This is a company that if country that if it were to sell its treasuries, would send the United States into immediate bankruptcy. This is a country that supplies America with 90% of the rare earth metals that are used in and required for all sophisticated technologies, including its military defense, including its satellites, including its communications gear, including the very technologies that the NSA is using to spy on the Chinese. saying that this lays bare the United States' hypocrisy and despotic rule. The Chinese are right. You see, Huawei Technologies is interesting because the United States has passed laws and has put forth mandates that make it impossible for an American company to use the largest manufacturer of telecommunications hardware in the world, which is Huawei Technologies. The United States has claimed that the Chinese could potentially use the electronic gear made by Huawei. It's a competitor with American firms in this regard, that it could potentially use that technology to spy on America. All the while, America is spying on them. There is no evidence that the Chinese have ever used Huawei Technologies to spy on any company, to spy on any individual in the world, to spy on the American government. But there is now proof that the U.S. government spied on Huawei Technologies and infiltrated its servers. That makes America a hypocrite. And when America dictates to countries, not only its companies inside the United States, that they must choose a more expensive alternative, an inferior alternative for telecommunications, for internet communications, and that its allies across the world must do the same thing in their telecommunications and internet backbone developments, because of the potential of the Chinese spying, when it's the NSA that is doing the very thing that America is blaming the Chinese of doing, the nation's not only hypocritical, which means it has no credibility, but it's becoming despotic. This is an amazingly important story. The United States is guilty of the very thing that it was accusing another nation of doing. And yet the United States has made the claim against China to justify the enormous intrusion of privacy and credibility destroyed by the United States through the NSA. So they want to justify the need for the NSA by claiming the Chinese are spying, the Chinese are spying, when in fact it's the Americans who are doing so. And in the process, taking the world's second largest economy, the nation that has within its lands 90% of the world's supply of the most precious rare earth metals, and tweaking their nose. It's an abomination, folks. It's long past time that we as Americans ought to be disgusted by our government, as the Chinese now are. For those who live in America, it's important that you know that your country is not respected. Here is the world's second largest economy, the world's leading manufacturer, the world's fastest growing economy, the nation that holds more of U.S. debt than any other nation on earth, America's largest trading partner. And based upon what they have discovered, the difference between America's condemnation of one of its most sophisticated companies, Huawei, which competes directly with Cisco, and forbidding American firms and American cities and American states and the American government from doing business with Huawei, even though their products are superior and their prices are more advantageous, because of the potential of Huawei Technologies being used by the Chinese to spy on America, while America is actually spying, infiltrating the servers of Huawei Technologies. When you do that kind of thing, you show yourself to be grotesquely immoral. wholly untrustworthy. You're a thief. Which is why the Chinese, and this is at the very high level of the Chinese government, for this statement by the head of the Defense Forces for the Chinese to be able to make this statement, it was passed by and approved by the Premier of China. And I quote, "For a while now, some Americans have jabbered on and on, condemning Chinese hacking attacks," he said. "But the truth is that without any basis in fact, it's simply a thief crying out, 'Stop, thief.'" Oh, my. I mean, when you combine this with America tongue-lashing the Russians, saying, "Oh boy, if you don't stop your military aggression against the Ukraine," when the Russians aren't deploying their military in the Ukraine and have said they don't have any interest in the Ukraine, that we're going to do all sorts of horrible things. In fact, the President of the United States just yesterday called the Russians a minor regional power. And then, for spite, said, "We're not going to Sochi for the G8 summit. As a matter of fact, it's no longer the G8, it's the G7. Oh, by the way, it doesn't include China, because the United States doesn't want the second largest economy and the world's leading manufacturing country to participate. I mean, we have lost all credibility. It is now the late, once great, United States. There is a story that is a major departure from this, but it shows why America is in such a mess. It's the religions that have taken us to this place, our educational institutions that have precluded our ability to think, to act in a moral way. This story is from the Washington Post. It makes you want to scream. Last week came the story of a boy in Buncombe County, North Carolina, who got bullied when he showed up at school with a My Little Pony bag. His public school told him to lose the bag, which outraged the cybersphere until the school relented. Apparently, he wasn't seen as masculine enough. Now comes the story of a Virginia girl, an 8-year-old girl in Lynchburg, Virginia, who has an affinity for autographed baseballs and for collector coins. She likes to wear T-shirts and sneakers. She plays sports, and she keeps her hair short. Her private Christian school sent a letter to her grandmother and guardian saying that she should dress and act more like a girl. The letter from the school administrator, the Christian school administrator in Lynchburg, reads, and I quote, "You're probably aware that Timberlake Christian School is a religious, Bible-believing institution providing education in a distinctly Christian environment. We believe that unless Sunni, as well as her family, clearly understand that God has made her female and her dress and behavior need to follow suit with her God-ordained identity, that the Timberlake Christian School is not the best place for her future education," end quote. Now, I hate Christianity. I do. I've made that perfectly clear. But obviously, I'm justified in doing so. Now, should you say that I hate all of Christianity because of this one incident? No. This is just one of countless incidents that caused me to despise the religion. I didn't say that I hate Christians. I don't. I pity them. I hate the religion. I'm in good company there. God hates the religion too. In fact, his open letter to Gentiles in Jeremiah was specifically written to expose and condemn the religion of Christianity. His prophetic testimony through his prophet Habakkuk, was specifically dictated to warn Christians that the founder of the religion, the author of half of their Christian New Testament, Paul, was the plague of death. Yosha warned Christians about the fact that a wolf in sheep's clothing would come to them, would beguile them, would take them away from the Torah, and that as a result, they would be estranged, that they would be prohibited from entering heaven. I'm not alone when I say that I dislike the religion. God hates it as well. Now, think about what these Christians wrote. Timberlake Christian School is a religious, Bible-believing institution. God hates religion. Religion is exactly what Yahusha constantly railed against. Every time he was confronted by the religious establishment, he condemned them. He didn't come to create a religion. He came to lead us away from religion. There is no book known as the Bible. Yosha himself refers to Yahweh's testimony as the Torah and prophets. Bible is the name of a pagan sun goddess. God has no interest in beliefs or in believing or in faith, because he makes himself knowable. And once you know, you do not need to believe. Once you understand, faith is counterproductive. Distinctly Christian environment. You're only welcome here if you follow our rules. Now, I want you to tell me where God says that a girl has to dress like a girl and a boy has to dress like a boy. And that if a girl doesn't dress like a girl, she's not to be educated. Now, I know where Paul says that husbands lord over their wives, that women are inferior to men under those circumstances. But why don't you tell me your justification for this? Well, I want you to tell me how the act of procreation, where little Sunnis, mommy and daddy, got together and conceived her, was an act of God. I want you to show me how God somehow intervened in the sex act to conceive little Sunni, and that how God, the master manipulator, said that, I'm going to make this one a girl. Why not? Yeah. But I'm going to make this one a boyish kind of girl. Maybe a little chubby. Yeah, I really like to get involved in all this kind of minutia. Yeah, I'm going to have this one. I'm going to make sure that this one likes collecting coins and wearing T-shirts. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do this time. I mean, where do you stop? If you had God intervene and conceive the child as opposed to natural intercourse, if you had God choose the sex of the child as opposed to whether or not a male or female sperm reach the egg first to determine the sex. Why is, if God ordained the first two things, that he didn't ordain the personality? And if he ordained the personality, who are you as a Christian church to rail against it? Why do you think that God interfered and did the first two things that we know are a product of natural biology, but didn't do the thing that would be outside of that ring? are you saying, Christian school, that God ordained her identity? That God ordained her nature? If God ordained her nature, made her the personality that she is, then what's the purpose of choice? Why free will? You know, if God is going to ordain who she is and what she does, then there's no purpose of any of this. It's all a farce, a big cosmic game. This letter also states that Suni Kale's fellow students have been confused as to whether she is a boy or a girl. So? She's a child. What does it matter? The school says there's more to the story and takes issues with the narrative, which has come from her family, even though they quoted her. They don't like their own words, perhaps, when they're exposed in this way. We'll be back in a moment. Continuing with this story, now Suni is in a public school. But her grandmother says that she cries every morning because she misses her friends. Must have been getting along with the boys and girls at the Christian school if she misses her friends. Must have found a number of young boys and girls who recognized she was either a boy or a girl. The school issued this statement on March 25th, a few days ago. We are heartbroken. Oh, yes. That Suni's grandparents have made her the subject of public discussion. We're not heartbroken that we wrote this letter. We were just heartbroken that Suni's grandparents have made her the subject of public discussion. We regret that they have made the decision to withdraw Suni immediately from Timberlake Christian schools. That's just disgusting. You write a letter to the parents, taking this high and mighty, we're Christian, you're not Christian enough, we're on God's side, your granddaughter is in opposition to God, and you either resolve this issue and bring her into compliance with us and with God, or she's not welcome here. And then you say, you're heartbroken? That it's Suni's grandparents that have made her the subject of public discussion, as opposed to your condescending letter, and that you regret they've withdrawn her from your two-bit school, when it was your letter that said she's not welcome here unless she acquiesces to our standards. I googled Timberlake Christian schools because I wanted to find out if they had an affinity with the 800-pound gorilla in Lynchburg, Virginia. It's not a reference to my late friend Jerry Falwell's girth. I love Jerry Falwell. Disagreed with him, but nonetheless, he was a lovable man. And I wanted to see if Timberlake Christian School was part of Falwell Inc. in Lynchburg, Virginia. This is what I read. Timberlake Christian Schools, founded in 1966, is one of the first private schools to exist in the Lynchburg, Virginia area. Now, they've been doing this for a long time. One of the largest ministries, you say ministries, they're doing God's work, of Timberlake Baptist Church. The Timberlake Christian School strives for academic excellence with a Christ-centered, discipleship-focused. Students are grounded in the truths and implications of the gospel through the preaching and teaching of our daily Bible classes, weekly chapels, and accountability groups, which maybe you all ought to attend, as well as a curriculum consistently taught from a biblical worldview. You know, gospel is not a term you're going to find in the Greek text of the so-called Christian New Testament. There's no word even remotely related to gospel, which is based upon God's spell. God was a pagan god, and spell is what demons cast on the unwary. They say we offer a 75% discount at Liberty University. Yeah, there's the Falwell Inc. link for qualifying seniors. We provide a safe, loving, learning environment for our approximately 400 students in pre-K through 12th grade. Well, not too loving. TCS is fully accredited by the Association of Christian Schools International. TCS is your partner in educating your children and training them to become genuine followers of Christ. I would have thought that to be a follower of Christ, you had to be Torah observant. He was Torah observant. I would think you'd have to attend the Moed Mikre, the seven invitations to meet with God each year. He did. I would think you'd have to observe the Shabbat. He did. I think you'd have to know and use Yahweh's name. Oh, well, let's forget about all of that. They've got a religion to promote, and if you're not in compliance with it, you are not welcome there. Here's another story that I thought was interesting. It all ties into the prophecy that Yahweh made concerning the United States, so it turns out to be a really an excellent transition into Yashaya 17 and 18. And as the music is playing, we will turn to what President Bashar al-Assad has at stake in Aleppo when shattering this continues after the news and commercial break.